This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good morning. It's Chris Plunkett. I'm your host every Sunday here at the Apple, talking New York. It is Disaster Recovery Hour. And I'm sure you, everyone out there is listening, knows exactly what we talk about in the show. And that's about disasters and emergencies, and how we can prevent further damage when things do happen. And also with other things throughout the course of the history of the show, we've touched on many other areas, with, along as health and financial, internationally with LP and BP. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. It's been a relatively quiet week up in our neck of the woods with the weather. It's kind of nice out there. But with that said, I'm actually Skyping in from Tennessee. I'm down here doing some training, getting some further education in the world of disaster response and disaster restoration. I got a lot of good things I'm going to be talking about in the upcoming shows, which kind of bumps me into what we talked about last week when I was had the interview with Tim Falconer and BP. There's a couple of comments on the DHR radio website. If there was a misleading comments, it wasn't intentional. I am a fan of both BP and LP, and when I do come back, I want to make that a priority for LP to come on the show. And I know he's got the future down in MMRC Haiti. He's got his good work still going on. So with that said, we'll wait a couple of weeks to speak to him so I can get him on the show, like I said. There's also a couple other ones that were on the comments page that were rather interesting, and that's from Tracy with the Restovic children. Yeah, it is pretty amazing this time in this 21st century that you can have this situation going on in a country as close as it is to us. It is appalling, and somebody should discuss that. Money should be attached to that playwright, or you don't get the funding. And Sherry's point about NGOs, the money that comes into these communities, the NGOs don't have a convention. They don't all get together. And this is what between an LP and BP informed me on this, and so did Tim Falconer from Waveplace Foundation, as well as some of the other people we've had on the show talking about NGOs, which are non-government organizations. If you just join us, it's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Sunday between 11 and 12. And I am Skyping in from another part of the United States. Like I said, getting a little further education. And, another one with Cindy is Haiti's on the front page. And just like New Orleans, I agree. I'm down here on this disaster institute that I'm at. And we would just talk about New Orleans this morning. And it's right. It's not in the news anymore, but that place is still crushed. A lot of work to be done down there. And you also can, cap it off with some of this crazy Chinese drywall and what's happening with that and these people getting sick. I'm going to talk about that when I return. I got some good information. I definitely want to talk about it. Regarding something that's a little more closer to home instead of the international thing, Ted writes in about insurance companies. Ted, give me a call. Give me a call at the office, and either if I'm in or if I'm not in, I'll return your call. Try to navigate your insurance companies or your brokers. I mean, your broker really is the person who's on your side regarding any issues that you might have. But said again, give me a call. We'll see where I can be of assistance. It's a free phone call. Just like the webpage with the comments page, you can throw out some questions out there. If I can be of assistance, dynamite. That's what it's about. The show's more of a public service show than anything. And if I can be of assistance, create some less anxiety or alleviate anxiety that you might have over policy coverages. And so, Ted, if, like I said, give me a call and see if I can help you out with that. That also stirs up something for me. I just got a couple of these alerts regarding insurance companies and what they're thinking and things that are being put into the pipeline. Australia looks like to be getting reevaluated because of their disaster, their natural disaster over there and down under. Some of the major reinsurance carriers are going to start to look at them a little more differently, and their susceptibility to massive natural disasters. I followed that. They didn't talk about it a whole lot because, you know what, the Australian government did a heck of a job, in my opinion. You know, some of the intel that I had gotten. You know, I'm sure there's gaps, like dealing with any government there, you know, there's always going to be people who fall through the gaps, and that really makes the news. So it always makes it look like, nobody's doing anything. But, again, just from my perspective, it looked like, the person in charge down there, with the, every day they were giving up, she was giving updates, you know, she's the head of that country, you know, and, there was, I thought that was a good move, making sure her people know that she's not, just your ordinary politician, but, you know, standing by her people. You know, the you know, not to get off the beaten path here, but, you know, the Felix Nader thing, I don't know if everybody got a chance to listen to that, or you need to do a podcast. It kind of was, you know, people might think like, oh, you know, workplace violence prevention, incident management and prevention. Sorry to say, it's here. It's not going anywhere. And I think businesses need to be prepared. It's also an opportunity for the insurance industry and the brokers to say, hey, listen, maybe I need to take a look at my client's his needs. The needs have changed. You know, it's no surprise that banking and insurance is combined. Okay, it's the banking insurance industry. Okay, you have committees, you have lobbyists and things like that. So they're out there. It's no small potatoes. So even, you know, regarding Felix, you should, as, you know, Harry homeowner or Joe business owner or Mary business owner or Mary homeowner, you should really contact your agent or your broker and take a look at your policy, see where you're at. It's huge. Okay. And it's one of the things that we're learning down here, or expanding or already having the knowledge, but further delving into policies and how to read them and interpret them. If you just join us, Disaster Recovery Hour, I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Just after the wintertime, another couple more weeks, I'm going to be having on a couple insurance agents or brokers, whichever, because we really haven't gone down that path, because the program started talking about some of the average things that happen in losses and disasters. And then we got involved with some other interesting people, and the show's taken on a new went down a couple different avenues that we didn't consider, but they were very exciting. And that's why, you know, these things are, the show has become a very, very followed show. Thank you for following. Thank you for listening. Hence the reason we got moved to Sunday between 11 and 12. You know, there's a lot more people awake. You know, the people at the radio station, they know what they're doing. So our upcoming segment is, it's a good one. It's a representative and editor for NJ Corrections Now. It's a magazine. It's here in New Jersey, and it's predominantly about law enforcement and first responders, and the stories that they go through on the job and off the job. Daniel DelValve, who is the editor of the magazine, is also going to be going across the river into the New York side with those first responders. And so, with that, before we go to break, let me just tell you what's happening in the upcoming weeks. We're going to be having, like I said, you'll have Danny coming on the show in the remaining segments. I think you're going to be interested in that. Also for a good cause. Then we're going to also have a representative from the Red Cross, an incident manager, if you will, response manager, if you will. That's a real good program. That's a real good program because, you know, a lot of people don't really understand what the Red Cross does. So really tune in for that. And he's going to be he'll be out there looking for comments on the comments and question page. That should be very interesting because that really touches the average American. I've gone to many fires. Okay, about 90% of the times that the Red Cross shows up is generally about fires. You know, the stickers on the wall. They've been there. They've assisted whatever they can do, whether it's housing. But I'm not going to get into all the details. But it's going to be a real good show. And also, you know, I always have on a good buddy of mine, Bart Terulli. He's the Merit Prize Financial Disaster Planner in my world. Okay. I mean, he is a financial planner, but for our show, and I think it's very applicable, you know, we talk about some of the things that can hedge off because, you know, physically things can happen. We talked about disability last time, and it comes on the heels of a very, very close friend of mine who got hurt on the job. And this is not a policeman or a fireman, but a guy who is a works for a town. Hopefully he goes back to work. I think he is. He's a strong-willed guy. Got a lot of talent in between his ears. So again, the show's got some exciting people coming up, and we've had some exciting people in the past. So let's go to a break. Come back with Danny, and pay a couple bills, and we'll see you in a second.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. Commercial break. Today, my guest is Daniel DeValve. Daniel is the editor of New Jersey Corrections Magazine. And anybody who knows the emergency business that I'm in, we're always following on the heels of law enforcement and the fire department. Now, Danny is associated and works for the Passaic County Corrections Facility. And he's been on the job for, I think, 11 years now, right, Dan?
That is correct.
Dan, I appreciate you showing up today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Dan, now the magazine, you work in the jail, you're doing your day job, if you will, and you become an editor of this magazine. Why don't we get a little BG and go roll right into it?
Yeah, well, pretty much being a law enforcement officer, you're used to seeing pretty much the same magazine, which was New Jersey cops coming to my facility. And matter of fact, I'm a fan of New Jersey Cops magazine, and I felt that the corrections division of law enforcement needed some type of representation. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what, let me start a magazine. I'm going to call it New Jersey Corrections now, and I'm going to involve all levels of law enforcement into this one magazine, but just, you know, represent the corrections name as well.
And Dan and I were talking about before the show, you know, disasters come in many forms. One of the disasters, and it just happened recently with the Paramus policewoman who was shot on the job, you know, so she goes to work, she does her job, and boom, she gets shot. And so mm-hmm. Daniel's, I know one of the driving forces for Dan, and we were talking about it before, is fallen heroes in the line of duty. The cover of this...
That was the November-December issue of 2010.
And that was the Teaneck police officer. Right,
Officer John Abram.
Yep. John Abram. So, and then this is obviously tugging at your heart because you're in law enforcement.
Correct.
So talk to me about how that comes into play.
Well, the
and your passion for it.
With New Jersey Corrections Now, I wanted it to be a different type of magazine, as far as a more personal, touchy magazine, and I felt that every issue I should have one officer that should be remembered in the state of New Jersey that either was killed or passed away for whatever reason. And I think that I felt that somebody should write a story about that officer so that the old officers that knew him or the new Jacks, like we call them, that come in should know who this officer was or once was. And what's happened was it's pretty much been the main focus of the magazine. A lot of officers that read it always usually go to that remembrance story. Since the Teaneck officer was such a tragic story and unexpected, I made it the front cover, that issue. And he has a beautiful son, which we put him in the front cover. It was a touching picture to see his son with his father's hat on. Mm-hmm. That's how that came about.
Now, with corrections and law enforcement and the fire departments, like I said before, you know, I'm a pretty fortunate guy. I found an industry that I liked and I'm good at, and I have passion for it. And just as, you know, like I said, we were talking before, the same kind of passion you have in the corrections field. Disasters and preparedness, you know, there's such a correlation there, and that's what this show is all about. With John, the Teaneck officer, and now last month we had the Toms River killing with that, you know, another traffic stop, right?
Yeah, there was the Ocean Gate police officer that was hit by a drunk driver, right. And unfortunately he got into an accident. He couldn't get out of his vehicle and was burned and passed away, unfortunately. And then the other incident was just happened shortly was the Lakewood police officer, right, Officer Matlos, was killed by allegedly by the gentleman they announced in the news.
One of the things that you want to do is you want to try to set up. They have foundations, but drive these stories to people. Hey, listen, the guy came to work one day, didn't come home. We have a responsibility as citizens and as a society, I think, to take care of people who are putting their lives on the line. I'm an advocate big time. And because I always see them on the way out as I'm coming on the way in. And I'm not saying, you know, grant you, mine is insurance driven, or New York City Housing Authority will give me a call, or property managers. But they're done with their work. And it's not routine, because there's a lot in danger. I mean, a fireman goes, through a burning building, and or they're doing their final walk through, and it falls right through a floor. Boom, he's done. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the how you're getting. Let's use John Abrams as an example. How we're moving forward and trying to assist in their family. Some of the resources you're doing.
Well, to start off, you have to educate your audience and really let them know what's going on. So, just to have a story of a particularly of an incident or of an officer, that's where it starts. The civilian or the other officer gets inspired and says, you know what, we do have a problem. And once they read the story, they find out that this person, especially the stories that we have in this magazine, is written by someone that's close to them. It's just not me writing the story. It's the partner, the father. There was a New Jersey Corrections Now a couple of issues ago. Benjamin, Officer Franklin from the Patterson Police Department, right. His father wrote a beautiful story regarding his son. And, it really was a touching story about a father that loses his son that was a police officer. And we know in law enforcement sometimes we get labeled this wrong perception. Mm-hmm. The media always, publicizes the, officers at their low point or when they make a mistake. Sure. And we have enough of that. So I said, it's time to, really come out with what we're about. And we're human just like anybody else. And regardless whether you're a correction, probation, patrol, we're all on the same team. Mm-hmm. And this team needs to be funded correctly. It needs to be supported, because this team is what pretty much levels government to have stability.
Yeah. If you just join us, it's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Sunday between 11 and 12. My guest today is Daniel DelValve, and hopefully I'm saying that properly. So with the headline stories of the magazine, you also have, and we talked about it, your reporters are really from the field. They're not your reporter who can be a freelance person from one magazine to another, and they're writing a story. There's no feeling behind it. It's giving validity and some background on who this person was, behind the badge.
Correct. Just to give you an example, I hope I quote it correctly, but there was an officer from the Passaic County Sheriff's Department, which was my department. He passed away, and his brother, his younger brother, which now is a correction officer as well, he wrote a story regarding his brother. And one of his final lines that he wrote, which really touched me, and I got a lot of feedback from everyone, was people always said, me and my brother never looked eye to eye, but it was always because I was always looking up to him. And that was a very touchy words, when you really understand what he was trying to say. Sometimes brothers don't see eye to eye. And then once someone's gone, you realize how, you wish you could just bring back that time. And his expression was pretty much, the reason why we couldn't see each other eye to eye was because I was always looking up to him. And that's just to give you an example of when one of my, officers write a story, they really put their real emotions and heart to it.
So you also have another story. Tell a quick one before we go to the break.
Well, there was an officer that her dog got sick and almost died, and she was very upset that they found out the sugar-free gum has something called xylitol. Xylitol is apparently it's bad for small dogs. If they actually chew it, they could either, you know, die or get very ill. And apparently with her dog, you know, she had a over $3,000 of medical expenses, and the dog almost died. And she said, you know, can I write a story in your magazine to make other officers aware of what this sugar-free gum has? And I said, absolutely, because, like I said, it's if it's important to her and she's an officer, then it's important to me. Therefore, it's important to all the other officers reading it.
Yeah, you know, so that leads to what we talked about before the show began was, you know, the law enforcement and the fire department, yeah, they're doing the heroic part, but they're also the behind the badge. They're human beings. And I remember when I had to put my dog down, you know what? I didn't go to work the next day. I called in. I was all broken up. And so, you know, just because, you're getting a traffic violation or you're in the jail and you're getting processed or however you guys classify it as, you know, the other person is still a human being. And they can also experience a bad day prior to coming to work, where everybody else gets a break. So I think the next time you look at it, people should view it a different way. So let's go to a break, pay a couple bills, and we'll be right back with Danny.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, welcome back. We're back for the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Sunday, my guest today is Daniel Del Valle.
Yep, perfect.
I got it because I got to apologize. We were just laughing off the air, but I said it wrong, I think, on the front side. I apologize, Danny.
No problem.
Now we'll just go with Danny, and I'm going to wrap. So we're good for the rest of our lives together. Dan, you know I have contact with some fire departments, and also, I mean, not contact, but actually have had them on the show, and also Nick Marisi from the State Police OEM. He's the Director of Communications down there, and he gives me kind of the tips and the tools and for the citizens while they're out there listening, some of the things they can do to be aware of their surroundings. And also comes on the heels of last week's guest with Felix Nader from Nader Associates with workplace violence and incident reporting and preparedness. Last year in January, we had the bad storm, and I did a couple of police departments that got affected property-wise. So there's a security issue, and I was in evidence room, and I was being watched while my guys were doing the job, and I was supervising them, so on and so forth. Fortunately for me, I've moved up the food chain in the last 20 years where I'm not physically working like that anymore, but I still have the background and the know-how and how to do it. Because I was talking to them about some attorney could always say, listen, you had citizens inside your evidence room and, could have been tampered with while you weren't watching or something to that degree. But I think about, the jail, okay, right smack in the middle of Patterson or over there by the Hackensack River with Bergen County or in the city or downtown or, the numerous or on the West Side Highway, wherever they are, they get affected. I know there's backup generators, but they also physically can be impacted by the weather, the way we're having the weather the last couple of years. Do you guys actually train for instance like that? I know listeners, I know I'm curious on how that is prepared.
Yeah, well, as far as dealing with the weather and
Yeah, right, exactly. The weather, anything weather related that would affect your job and the guys also on the road on responding back to the facility.
Well, when it comes to weather, the officer in every law enforcement division understands that it's going to be mandatory overtime has to be in full effect. Officers sometimes can't make it to the facility, so if an 8-hour shift will turn into a 16-hour shift automatically, and that's what the weather does as far as for the officers in the jail. They know that chances are they're going to be there another 8 hours or to make up for the shortage in other ways. Mm-hmm. As far as for the patrol officer, I'm sure that they have the restrictions as far as call time to get to the calls at the
right
stations, and so on and so forth.
Bergen County's got a new facility, in the last half a dozen years or something. But there was an article in the local paper, The Record, about the old jail at the Bergen County Courthouse, about how it's packed and the file rooms and holding guys and bringing guys through court right through the instead of the back door, you go right through the rotunda down there. I know the facility that you guys are at, it's been around a few years, right? So, but so those are the challenges you have to encounter when, you know, a storm happens, or, you know, I know you have backup generators, so you have facility managers for that. Now, is that in law enforcement, or is that an outside agency that would handle something like that?
I would say law enforcement. Each facility is it's run by law enforcement officers. So there's correction officers that are handyman. They're in a workshop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anything to deal with plumbing or electricity, it's all done in-house. So there will be a specific officer that would deal with the electrical part of the job, or mm-hmm. with the plumbing. So, you know, these officers have been around a long time, and they know that facility, you know, better than anyone else.
Yeah, because people are always asking, oh, you know, they just cut a check and it gets taken care of. It's not the case at all. I mean, there's a protocol.
Well, I would say, I would speak for Passaic County Sheriff's Department. They're very, wise, from what I could call it. You know, as far as their officers been there for a while, and they're, you know, they have their own. We have our workshop, and you know, these officers know everything. You know, they could put a building together on their own if they wanted to.
Hmm. Now, with unfortunately, everything about our society right now is a direct reflective of the downturn in the economy. You know, and I've said it probably once a show. Each show I do is there's cutbacks. Whether it's my wife's a school teacher, so there's a hit there on what she can order, because halfway through the year they order for next year's books and pencils and whatever the whatchamacalls, they order the widgets and whatnot. And obviously the money went down this year like it did the last couple of years. However, you know, a mine is a terrible thing to waste, and I agree with that. But at least my wife or her fellow teachers can you know, make up for physical books and pencils not being there. They can teach, you know, they still have their mind. Now, the experiences that you guys are going through, law enforcement as a whole, with the cuts just cut right across the board, there's a different effect there. And I know you're passionate about it. I know you're a good representative of the men that you work with. I like to hear your thoughts on that, and because it matriculates to life and death.
Well, you're absolutely right. The next issue from New Jersey Corrections Now, which is January, February edition, the cover it says it all. It's law enforcement under attack. And in, you know, my opinion, I feel that we have been categorized as villains now, and we're not getting the respect that we should be getting. Reason being, you know, we're being criticized. Our pension system is pretty much, you know, in the red. They're saying it's going to be in the red in years to come, but unfortunately, the public, the civilians don't know the real truth that the past politicians have been taking from our pension.
Yeah, they're raiding it.
Correct. And then when it's time to pay back the money, obviously everyone says, well, we don't have it. These law enforcement officers are getting, expecting so much. And, you know, there's we have a deficit. We can't do it. But in reality, you know, we just want what we had originally. Mm-hmm. We didn't spend it. It was there.
Right. I mean, I've seen some of the paperwork come across my kitchen table with my wife. And her union and her district, I mean, I'm not going to name what it is, but there's definitely a huge difference in it now. Dan O'Brien, the captain in the fire department in Emerson, and also Chief Retorchek, they were on a couple times this past year, and there's a default of when the phone rings, it's like, cat in the tree, sure, okay, flood in the basement, vehicle impact or whatever. It's just like, all right, call the fire department. You know, that costs dollars, mm-hmm. you know, right. And that's on a volunteer standpoint. Now, you're missing, use Camden, 47 guys. Or Jersey City, what was that, 93 guys or something? What was a crazy number?
They worked out a deal.
Right, they worked out a deal, but you're talking about not guys on patrol or riding along alone instead of having a partner.
Correct.
You know, and, you know, Joe Citizen says, where's the cops? Where's the cops?
Well, I think what has to happen is the public, civilians, and even officers, which they know, but let's just stick with civilians, they need to be aware of what this could turn out to be. When you cut back on in law enforcement in any division, what you're doing is you're making civilians susceptible to more crime. The less police presence, law enforcement presence anywhere, it's going to, you know, bring more violence and you know, crimes in the street, instability inside of jail. And to be honest with you, I don't think civilians really, I think the media is bringing out the message that law enforcement is paid too much. They're too expensive. We're in the red because of them. We have to cut back. But if you really start analyzing what that means, do you know that if you cut back on law enforcement, your stability, could you put a price on that? You know, right. it's going to be you're going to be more likely to be fall victim to these criminals out there. You know, right now we're in a deficit, and we have to say that, you know, when people can't pay their bills, some will turn to crime. So, you know, what does that mean? It means you're cutting back on law enforcement. And at the same token, there's more people that are going to want to commit crime. So, you know, it equals out to, you know, instability, and who pays it is going to be the average citizen in that house that's going to be afraid to walk their neighborhoods.
Man, I was talking with a buddy of mine who was also on the show. He was it's Michael Guidreau, an attorney, and he handles bankruptcies. And we were talking about, you know, again, financial disasters. He handles you know, if you didn't if you ran into a problem financially, or, you know, with the financial downturn. He and I were talking yesterday. Actually, we should say hello because Michael was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. And hey, don't, Mike, how are you feeling better? But he talked about a murder that had happened 47 years ago. And talk about how cyclical financials are. The guy generally had a partner, and he pulled over a vehicle that he, unbeknownst to him, because of he was moving these guys along. It was no big deal. They rolled through a stop sign. He pulled them over, a quick hello, blah, 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 blah. However, prior to that, about 20 minutes before that, they killed two teenagers. Wow. You know, so, yeah. And that's 47 years ago. And I thought about that yesterday, and I knew about the show today. And then, you know, I got a couple of really close friends in law enforcement, and I said to myself, well, you know, that's very applicable even 47 years later. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have one guy ride along, or you're not. You know what? That's somebody's kid. That's somebody's life. You know, missed intel that you didn't have before, or processing a crime scene, or even the fire departments, you know, the paid fire departments, you know, even with the volunteer fire departments, there's a lot of liability out there, and people are shying away from it because, you know what, the guy wants to do the right thing by their local municipalities and volunteer, say, for the ambulance corps, the fire department, or auxiliary police. And if they do something wrong, they're going to get sued. Then the town's going to have to pay for mm-hmm. it. And, you know, it's just, it kind of shuns it away. And then you throw on top of, you know, massive financial cuts, something's got to give.
Correct. I mean, it's self-explanatory. We all in law enforcement understand that the less manpower means that each individual officer gets tired out. You know, it's a lot of stress in law enforcement, and that, you know, that's just one aspect.
Yeah, let's go to a break, Dan. We're gonna pick that up, and then rock and roll for the rest of the show. Go to break.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host Chris Plunkett on AM 970 The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Welcome back. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. We left off with the unknown knowledge that the average citizen has of the stress factor. Why don't you continue with that?
Well, I would say, bottom line, preparedness should be awareness to the average person out there that is hearing this. It's following this trend or hearing the media, portray these officers as overpaid or not as valuable as they really are. You know, let's get down to it and let's say the truth. You know, it's not our fault that we're in a situation as far as our pension system. And second, every officer pays into this pension system, and it was all there. And now that if you want to start cutting back on law enforcement, we have to admit that that's going to hurt the average civilian out there. That lives, that abides the law, And they're going to have to accept there's going to be less police presence in or out in the system. And that's I think we should all be against that. If you want to cut back, there's other ways to cut back. Yes, we as law enforcement officers could be better managed, I'm sure. We could all learn from past mistakes.
Right.
But to pretty much start laying off or having these drastic cuts to our, you know, to these departments and you know, just trying to follow the trend, you know, let's say the truth. You know, the truth is, you know, the ones that are going to pay for this is the civilians. The civilians that are under the impression that, yes, you know, we have to, you know, cut the tab and let's cut them and, you know, and we're going to be better off. But reality, no, you're not. You know, you're going to be more prone to these criminals and everything else is just going to collapse from there. You know, and eventually you're going to see the light. You know, these politicians that are preaching this new trend against law enforcement, and you know, they're going to have to they will see the light, and they will say, you know what, we can't do this because the civilians are complaining
and at risk. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a paid fireman, also volunteers in a town he lives in. And I don't know if you could see last month with the, you know, all these towns have reached their max on their budget for snow removal.
Correct.
You know, so now where's that money come from? You know, that hasn't even been addressed yet. You know, there's federal funds and everyone's got to do their paperwork and so on and so forth. But we were talking and, you know, when if it's non-emergency call or such as a fire department or even the police department, to go from X, or I should say, go from A to B, it costs time, and you need to investigate that. Is it real? Is it not real? Yes. Do you need to? There, you know, it's that triage thing. You know, is it right to respond to that call, or is it not? You know, within the conversation, it said he was telling me, okay, so you send two guys. To get, let's just use the cat in the tree, you know, just nice and easy and simple, plain and nice and easy for everyone to eat up. And so that costs, you know, $8,000. You know, they're out there for a couple hours. You're running the vehicle. Every time there's a call, there's attributed cost to it. Now you do that times 70 towns in Bergen County, and what's in 23 towns of Passaic County? Is that what it's? How many towns?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then you go 566 towns or municipalities in the state of New Jersey. It came out to a little under $2 billion on costs for things that are really, you know, you have to differentiate what's important and what's not important. But I think it's just an automatic default that, okay, you know, they get paid so much money, let them come here and take care of this problem, when it really could be resolved quite simply. Mm-hmm. And those are the small things. I'm talking about, there's serious issues. I understand that. But I don't think us as Americans, we're so used to, you know, just calling a phone number and someone else takes care of it. Just like you're not liable for, you know, the ice on your front of your steps. Yes, you are. You should. You know, the mailman could slip and fall and get hurt, and he's out of work. He's only getting a little disability money. He can't pay his bills. You know, just do your own ice. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
correct.
Again, it's that preparedness side. Joe Citizen or Mary Citizen, however you want to do it. You know, just taking the proper steps. So until the cavalry shows up, you know, take care of your own house.
Correct.
You know, so Dan, we have the next month's edition. Is when's that coming out?
Comes out next week. It's pretty much it's my cover story is written by Stephen Olympia, which is a Patterson PBA president, and he speaks his mind, his heart of what he feels is going on. It's relating to obviously to these cutbacks. And, you know, we're all on the same page in law enforcement, and we feel that we're not being appreciated. And, you know, we're always, no matter what happens, you know, our job still gets done. You know, let's not send the wrong message. Every correction officer out there, whether we're happy or not with how we're being treated with this, you know, with this attack, you know, against law enforcement, we still have an obligation to our job. And every patrol officer, same here, you know, same thing. So we're just trying to, you know, pretty much going to put the message out. And, you know, my publication, New Jersey Corrections Now, I'm going to be a big advocate that, you know, let the civilians know, let the people know the real truth. You know, we're humans, just like everyone else. And sometimes the uniform and the badge, you know, signifies control, power, and you know. But it's more to that. You know, we bleed, and we have families. And if you go back 15 years ago, you know, law enforcement were, you know, we were making peanuts, and you know, officers at that time. You know, even 10 years ago, you know, there was very, very, you know, paid low scale, while these, you know, the stockbrokers were making a lot of money. And at that time, nobody was complaining, you know.
Right.
But, you know, granted, we don't, you know, we don't get all our holidays with our families. You know, we have a lot of stress, and we you know, we had our sacrifices. We have to pay 8-point-some percent from our check to put into our pension system. So, you know, we're paying that from our check extra from the average citizen. You know, so it's nothing that we just been given for free. We've earned it.
Right. Well, we got some stuff happening across the river. You're going to be moving into another region. Tell me about that.
I'm blessed to have, you know, the best officers in the state. They've made New Jersey Corrections Now a publication that was a success, and because of this success, I have chosen to go to New York, which is going to be called NY Blue Now, and it's going to have the same concept, which is to unite all levels of law enforcement into this one publication, and have officers write their stories, inform them about new technology, honor a fallen officer, which is very, very important. Sometimes even us, we, as law enforcement officers, sometimes forget to pay tribute to our own. And, you know, we're all human. And I think that a publication like New Jersey Corrections Now and NY Blue Now, which is going to go to New York, it's going to remind us and it's going to educate the public and ourselves how important it is to, you know, stay united.
Sounds like a bright future. I think you started the magazine just about the same size as Time. What was it? You have eight publications this past year?
Yeah. Started in February of last year, 1 year ago.
Okay. And
what's the first issue?
I started the show in August, so it looks like we should have a nice, long, healthy relationship together. Yeah, well, you like come on next month. We'll get a little snippet of the previous publication, and at least, you know what, it's my, you know, being preparedness, and the guy from Nick Maurice always says, you know what, Chris, if we can just do the little small things to be prepared, and that includes Bart Terulli and some of the other guys talk about, you know, different types of preparedness. There's the financial preparedness, there's the taking care of your own home preparedness, and the future of your children. You know, we're all in this thing together. You know, the Mercedes-Benz has that commercial, hey, we understand you, we live here too. Mm-hmm. So we're all part of this, and you know, everyone's got to take a bite of that sandwich, but there's a fine line on how much you should chew and how much you shouldn't chew. Mm-hmm. So Dan, I appreciate you coming on. Dan, one more message?
Yeah, just if you want to know more about this magazine, or we have a website, which is www.njcorrectionsnow.com. You know, njcorrectionsnow.com. And we also have a website for the New York publication, which is www.nyBlueNow.com, BLUENOW.com. You could call me or 973-390-3258 if you have any questions. I will answer anything you need that I know. Recently, a lot of law enforcement officers have been killed, and just want to wish, you know, give out my condolences to every family and every law enforcement officer out there, and, you know, stay safe, and, you know, things will get better. And, like, once again, my heart goes out to all the officers that have been killed until today.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Guys, appreciate it, Bill. Always a pleasure doing business with the producer. Dan, I'll talk to you soon. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. The other disaster that no one should ever forget that's still going on is the wars. And on both sides, the Afghan, and I don't care what they say, but it's still a war in Iraq. Bring in more troops, and God bless our country.
Thanks for listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. In New York, 212-920-9789. And don't forget to tune in every Sunday morning at 11 for the Disaster Recovery Hour right here on AM 970, The Apple.